Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch. And the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. It's hour two. The show is flying by. What a weekend of football. I can't tell you how many people I saw that just posted. Players, fans. I love the NFL. What a weekend. Live in L.A., it's the Herd. Trent Dilfer is going to join us in 15 minutes. Colin Right Wrong around the corner. Joy Taylor, whose brother, of course, was the Hall of Famer Jason Taylor. Poor Jason Taylor today. The rules are all against him. He'd just be chasing around quarterbacks, and he couldn't hit them. Well, I was thinking about this, Joy.
I watched the games on Saturday with him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So he was in here in L.A.?
No, I went to Miami this weekend for my brother's baby shower. You know I'm good for a good 10-hour flight.
You're amazing. So here's something that's really interesting, and Trent Dilfer can talk about this. So my whole life, the middle of the field, that was the defenses.
Yeah.
There was a term used, you haven't heard it in 7-8 years, alligator arms. Receivers did not want to go over the middle. You were allowed to headhunt and hurt people. So the middle of the field, if you were offense and you wanted to score big points fast, you went up the sidelines. And then the NFL said, quarterbacks can run in the middle and you can't hit them. And receivers can go over the middle and you can't hit them. Now everybody goes over the middle, and the middle of the field is now the offenses. It is Ronnie Lott today. The greatest safety I've ever seen, Ronnie Lott today, would be totally handcuffed. And so what's happened in football, the fact that a quarterback like Mahomes Allen can run through the middle of the defense, knowing you can't hit me, and slide on my terms, is so defeating to the defense. And that the receivers, tight ends, can go over the middle of the defense, and you can't hit him. I mean, Eric Waddle, Weddle, that hit, I'm like, that's a penalty? What? The middle of the field was defense for my entire life. And about 7 years ago, maybe more, 7 to 10, the NFL decided to change rules and give that part of the offense, that part of the field, to the offense. How many seam routes do we see now? Like, if you did that in the 70s, people were carted off. Like, there'd be one receiver, like Michael Irvin was your middle-of-the-field receiver. Other guys like, I got no interest going over the middle of the field. What you're seeing right now is the whole field is built for the offense. It used to just be the sideline was the offenses, and they would call a lot of pass interference. That was the offensive guys. Not anymore. And I don't know how you do it. Belichick can't stop Josh Allen. Vrabel can't stop Burrow. McDermott can't stop McVay. You can't stop these off. If you get a great quarterback who's daring and mobile, can't stop them. You just, there's nothing you can do. You just cross your fingers, hope we have the ball last. And it's good for the league because it forces everybody facing those quarterbacks to be more aggressive. Like it was really interesting. The Chiefs-Bills game, what was interesting about that was they said it in the opening comments. Remember, Buffalo went for it on fourth down early. And I do believe field goals matter. But in that game, if I'm facing Mahomes, no, I'm doing Brandon Staley on HGH. I'm going for it on virtually every fourth down because you have to. In that instance, now, if I'm facing Garoppolo or a guy that's, then I'll kick field goals. But Buffalo, Kansas City, both coaches knew we just got to go for it. We're not going to be able to stop the other guy. And the defenses, I thought, did a great job for about 2.5 quarters. And then, as is always the case, defensive guys get tired. You know, that's what always happens. The pass rush is always great in the first quarter and a half. And then you're asking 295-pound guys to run around and chase Mahomes and chase Josh Allen. By the fourth quarter, it's a pinball machine. Those guys are just running around. The defensive guys are tired. So, all right, here we go. Colin right, Colin wrong on a Monday.
Where Colin was right?
You guys don't like Jimmy Garoppolo, and I didn't think he played well. But he got San Francisco in field goal range late. He throws it right over the middle of the field. He was more daring than Aaron Rodgers. And two healthy seasons, two NFC championship. He gets the ball to the right people. He's not an elite arm talent. He's not super mobile. He got him in field goal range on the road. Lousy weather because he always gets it to the guy he's got to get it to. So Jimmy Garoppolo, and he did not play well. The weather was not conducive to great quarterback play. He wins. He's 4-1 in the playoffs career.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I told you, I only bet one game this weekend, Kansas City. I liked all the favorites. I said it all week. I didn't like – Joey was here. I said I wouldn't bet these. I didn't have any feel for any of them. I liked all the favorites. I did put a little money on Kansas City. And by the way, I was lucky to win that. Thank God for Patrick Mahomes.
Where Colin was right.
I said when Joe Burrow came out, I said he feels like Tony Romo, who I thought was a great quarterback. But you guys are making him in to be an all-timer. So I was wrong initially. But by the second game, I said, oh, no, he's way better than I thought. He's really, really good. And I have been a devotee of Joe Burrow. The fact that he was sacked 9 times and didn't flinch speaks so well of how he was raised, how he thinks, how he was coached, how he's currently coached. I mean, that kid, you would have understood if he just said, listen, I'm going to check down. I'm done getting hit. Nope. Refused to. In fact, the criticism that was probably the most just is, hey, Joe, could you get rid of the ball a little sooner? This kid, by game 2, you could see it. He is simply different.
Where Colin was wrong.
I could not envision Green Bay losing. Aaron Rodgers went safe. He started going 3-and-out. The Packers special teams were a mess. They were bad all year. They were really a mess. But you can't play that poorly as an MVP. I think Aaron Rodgers basically said, I'm going to throw it to Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, and that's it. Well, guess what? That makes you much easier to defend because the Niners knew you wouldn't throw it to anybody else, which is a huge mistake because the weakness of the 49ers is their corners. Listen, Cam Akers fumbled twice. You can't give up on guys in the playoffs. You got to get out of that stadium with a W. I am this morning still, to some degree, I'm never shocked in football. I mean, the Jags beat the Bills. I couldn't envision that happening. I tried Friday. I just can't get over it. The Packers' defense was good, and Garoppolo wasn't. It's not like Jimmy came out and was on fire. It's not like the Green Bay defense was a sieve and gave up. The defense for Green Bay was great. Garoppolo struggled. San Francisco still won.
Where Colin was right.
I predicted three teams would make the playoffs from the NFC West. I got two of them right, and I said all year, it's the SEC of the NFL. It will harden the teams. And if you watch San Francisco and you watch the Rams, both were in massive chaos and crisis this weekend. Sure enough, emotionally, put their head down and got through it. There is something to be said. Green Bay's division is so mediocre. How many times a year are the Packers in real crisis? If you play in the NFC West, you're in a crisis six times a year against your own division. I think it creates a toughness and a mental strength that has benefited the Rams and the Niners.
Where Colin was wrong.
Hey, I had my doubts on Matt Stafford. I knew he was better than Jared Goff, but Vegas even said he was worth only half a win more. And last week he only threw 17 times, and that led me to believe, are the Rams worried about him throwing? And this weekend, I had my concern. The reason I didn't take the Rams this weekend, I said, he's going to have to throw 40 times. I don't know if I trust him against the great pass rush, and Andrew Whitworth was out. He was really, really good. Do not blame him for the meltdown. If Cam Akers doesn't fumble, they lead 27-3 at half, and they're getting the ball, and that puppy is over. Some of that was just his teammates let him down. Cooper Kupp fumbled. Cam Akers fumbled twice. They snap it over his head. Don't ask me how a field goal kicker in 2022 who's going to the Pro Bowl comes up short. But the world melted around him, and he didn't.
Where Colin was right.
Been on this for 2 years. Four coaches remain. They're all offensive coaches. You can go ahead and hire Dan Quinn, but there's a ceiling, right? You get it? I mean, Belichick and Sean McDermott can't stop Josh Allen. Nobody can stop Mahomes. There's limitations on what you can do defensively in 2022 in the NFL. So as I see all these organizations interviewing defensive coaches, I like Todd Bowles. I like Dan Quinn. Matt Eberflus. But I'm going with Brian Daboll. I'm going to probably go with a Bieniemy. I'm going to probably go with an offensive guy because I'm looking around at the cultural changes. If I got a young quarterback, I want somebody who sandpapers him, just takes off the jagged edges, like McVay's done to Stafford, Zach's done to Joe, and as Andy Reid has done his entire career.
Where Colin was right.
After Jerry Jones said last week, Mike McCarthy's my guy, I said Jerry has to reconsider. He's being conned here. And Jerry Jones came out a day later and ripped his coaching staff, and there is a story now that Sean Payton is not sure he'll resign. I said, Jerry tends to be loyal sometimes to a fault with certain players and coaches, but we said, there's no way Jerry Jones, he's too smart to get conned, and this isn't working. They're not well coached. McCarthy doubles down on mistakes. They have to strongly consider moving off Mike McCarthy. And I'm not a fire the coach guy. I don't want people in mayhem losing jobs. Make him a senior advisor for the organization. Make him part of the family. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. But Jerry Jones was all in on Mike after that loss and has clearly wavered since. Oh, you know, it's one of the things that's fun about sports is that, you know, analytics have really helped football. Basically, we all used to complain, oh, these coaches won't go for it. In analytics, you sort of get guilted in to going for it. And I still believe if I have a solid quarterback, not a star, I'm going to take points. If I got Mahomes, if I got Josh Allen, if I got, you know, Stafford, if I got Herbert, Burrow, I get the go for it thing. I really do. The rules tell you go for it. If I have an average quarterback and the other guy's pretty good, sometimes I kind of feel like I just give me the points. I want to come back to the sidelines. We got points. They matter. I mean, in Cincinnati, obviously, they weren't real analytic decisions, but field goals were huge for Cincinnati. But the analytics in football have made it more daring. That's why it is so disturbing that the MVP, the front runner, Aaron Rodgers, went safe. This league has never been more daring. And Mr. I'm Smarter Than You went curled up and went safe in Green Bay. It was not what wins in this league. Just go look at all the quarterbacks that won this weekend. Burrow and Mahomes and Allen. You almost count Josh Allen as a winning quarterback the way he let him down the field. Josh Allen, Mahomes, Stafford, Garoppolo set his team up, threw the ball down the field. the quarterback that disappointed us, I'm going to go to this guy and this guy, and that's it. You can't do that anymore. That's 1990 football. You got to be daring. You've got to take chances. That's why I say, I don't get too caught up in interceptions anymore. If you get 69 plays offensively, and I asked my quarterback to throw 37 times, I want you to throw the ball down the field. And if you throw a pick, I think Burrow threw one. You throw a pick, I'm okay. I don't want it. I'm not rooting for it. But what I don't want is what I saw in Green Bay, which is checkdowns, Aaron Jones. Come on. The Niners corners are the – I mean, anybody in this league that follows it and watches film, and I'm not some guy that sits and watches film, the Niners would tell you our weakness is corner. That is our foundational hole. They're going to draft corners. You do not check down on the Niners. You keep challenging them, forcing their corners to make plays. And you got to throw to somebody beyond Devontae Adams. I love him, but there's got to be somebody else. Burrow's throwing it all over the yard. Tight ends, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Sunday, the NFC Championship presented by Intuit TurboTax Live is on Fox with a clash between division rivals as Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers take on Matthew Stafford and the Rams for a trip to Super Bowl 56. It all starts at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, only on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
You know, every year, rivalry weekend in college football fans are, there's nothing better than college football. Yeah, there is. It's called the divisional round in the NFL. That was the greatest weekend of football of all time. The best players in the world. as good a football as I ever remember. Now, some of you, there's a question out there, will Tom Brady retire? I doubt it. He plays well. He's obsessed. It's a tough loss. He could. I have no idea. My concern with Tampa, though, and Joy's been here with this, my number one concern is Tom is intense and demanding and demands structure. It is who he is. It is his nature. Tampa's not. Tampa's loose. It's Ybor City. It's fun. The football standards aren't very high. Cocktails at 4. Everybody piles in. Levante David noted yesterday, it's quote from Levante David, "We had turmoil all year in the organization. AB is loose. Bruce Arians can be loose. Tampa yesterday was not ready to play, and they were outcoached and outfocused." And Tom, he and Belichick live for structure. It's Tom's DNA. He loves structure. He loves business. And Tampa's loose, and they weren't ready to play. And it's one thing to win a Super Bowl or be successful in life. It's another to sustain it. That is harder because you're a target. And everybody in Tampa got paid. And everybody in Tampa got told how great they are. And party guy, he's not in it for the long haul. Party guy's back to Ybor City. Hey, we got our money. We got our attention. We got our ring. In New England, you win a Super Bowl, they hold a parade. And they chant no days off. The victory parade in Tampa, even Tom got drunk. It's a different culture. It doesn't fit Tom. He overcame it last year. But they gotta tighten up the screws because they weren't ready to play yesterday. The drop passes, not a lot of symmetry offensively. They simply weren't ready to play. And that's what drives Tom nuts. You heard him quoted on that about 3 different times over the last 2 weeks. That was the quote. "We've all got to be focused. We've all got to be ready to go." Tom kept telling all of us over and over, "We're not buttoned up here. We're not focused here." And I watched that first half, and that thing, a Cam Akers fumble is the only reason it is not over at half. And Tom has been saying this, by the way. Tom said 3 times publicly in the last month, "We've got to be focused. We've got to do our part. We've got to be ready." Tom gave us signals he was leaving New England. I didn't pay attention to enough of them. He kept telling us over and over, "We're not dialed in here." And they weren't yesterday. Now, some of that is the Rams, I thought, were just spectacular. I mean, to go on the road and play like that, good for them. Trent Dilfer, 15 years, a Pro Bowl, a Super Bowl, and a state championship coach. You know, it's interesting, Trent, I was thinking about you yesterday. Is that you're a very successful business guy as well, and that cultures change, and you got to be, you know, you always talk about twitchy athletes, but you also have to be, as a business person, the good ones are twitchy. You got to pivot off stuff. And I like Dan Quinn, and I think Matt Eberflus is great. We got 4 coaches left. They're all offensive. Belichick and McDermott can't stop Mahomes. Vrabel couldn't stop Burrow with a bad offensive line. And I look around at this game, Trent, you're an offensive guy. You walk in, you see this every week. I would be really reluctant. You would have to so blow me away as a defensive coach, because I'm looking at this game, Trent, and it doesn't look like the game you played.
Sophistication. I don't want to put in the offensive coach, defensive coach bucket yet, because there are some defensive guys that are very, very sophisticated. They've evolved as the game's evolved. They've created a network of offensive coaches that they trust, that they'll hand it over to. They almost have an offensive mindset as defensive coaches. But the term I use is sophistication. It's very fluid. There's a lot of moving pieces as a head coach in the National Football League. You're dealing with a lot of external factors. Things are changing every day. You have to be a sophisticated thinker. You can't be a curmudgeon. The days of the curmudgeon coach are done. The days of systems are done. What's happened now in football, because of how it's evolved, a lot it's because of the rules, a lot it's because of the attention, the money, just a lot of factors going on. The leader of the organization has to have a high level of sophistication. He's got to be able to teach football very well, just football in general, to his coaches and to his players. He's got to have a lot of things on his plate. And to your point, he has to have an offensive mindset. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be an offensive coach. We have to have an offensive mindset. So as you're going through this interview process, these general managers, you can't just get blown away by what you've done. You got to get blown away by the vision for where you're going and where you can take this organization, the people you're going to bring with you to help you lead the organization.
And I think, Trent, it's interesting because there was a moment in the Rams game. They got you know, listen, they got 35, 40 seconds left. And easy to take a knee and just say,
oh, yeah.
Let's get to overtime. It's man overboard. We are leaking water. And they didn't. And they got sacked. And they still went. And that, to me, signals McVay. Nope, we're not going to overtime. We've outplayed these guys. We're going right at them. I don't think a lot of defensive coaches think that. I mean, my takeaway was that was a moment. That is the league today, that series.
I totally agree. And I would put it in another bucket, that bucket of never flinching. And typically your offensive guys aren't going to flinch. Typically your offensive guys are going to have a more aggressive mindset. They're going to be more optimistic. Good things are about to happen, so something bad's about to happen. Most curmudgeon defensive coaches are from the school of something bad is about to happen.
Yeah.
Risk management, mitigate damage, let's get to the next play, you know, that kind of mindset. So again, I really don't want to make this mistake because I do think some of the most brilliant coaches in football right now have a defensive background, but they've evolved to have an offensive mentality, an optimistic mentality. Something good is about to happen. McVay's the poster boy for optimism. And Pete Carroll as well, something good's about to happen. So let's, hey, we got 32 seconds. We only have to go 45 yards instead of, oh, we have 32 seconds and we got to go 45 yards. That's impossible. I mean, it really is a mindset.
Sure.
And what you're seeing in this coaches league now is the mindset of the coaches of something great's about to happen. I got great players. They're going to make a play. We're going to find a way to win. Instead of just rewind this 10, 15 years ago to where almost every coach was, oh gosh, what bad is going to happen next to us?
I think of you as a relationship guy because I've known you a long time and you've got a lot of relationships. You have them with your family, your kids, blah, blah, blah. And I think it's really the strength of Brady that he just sort of makes everything work. He just makes Julian Edelman, a Kent State quarterback, 3 years of practice. He just makes it work. And I've said this about Aaron. Is that he can be a cynical person, and if somebody fumbles or makes a drop, he bails on him. And he's not a great relationship guy. I've seen his family call him out. I've seen teammates. And I watched him in that game after that Mercedes Lewis fumble. It's cold. He got hit. It happens. It is hard to play in zero. And he just threw to two guys the rest of the game. And my takeaway is, brother, we're all in a foxhole. you just got Cam Akers fumbled twice. You got to keep feeding him the ball if you need it. And I watched all these offenses this year, this weekend. Green Bay's got safe and got predictable in the second half. And I'm like, some of that, I can't blame LaFleur for everything, Trent. Some of that's the quarterback, right? Some of it?
I think he owned it after the game. You know, I've been watching all morning, and I get your take on Aaron. I don't want to say disagree. I'm going to defend him here in a little bit. He owned that in his press conference afterwards, too. Now, all anybody's shown is the comments he's making about don't want to be part of a rebuild and I'm going to take some time to reflect and talk to Brian. And we have a lot of players that are free agents. But there's also sound after that game where he says it's unacceptable to score 10 points and I'm the quarterback. I mean, he owned that offense was not clicking in all cylinders and he didn't play his best football. I think that, and I'm going to take every losing quarterback and put them in this bucket. You cannot hold them to whatever they say after the game.
Right.
It is gut-wrenching. It just ripped their souls out. Both Brady and Rodgers admitted they were shocked. They didn't see themselves in this position. So I really tend to hold off and not hold any quarterback to what they say right after the game when the wound is fresh. I do think Aaron probably will own that he didn't play his best football, that I agree with you. He kind of locked into a couple guys, Jones and Devontae Adams. But you can also make an argument. There's a lot of coaches that will say, hey, when things are going bad, find the guy and let it fly. Like, find your guy and let it fly. Sometimes you can't trust other players. And I think Aaron went into that mode. Not saying it's right, but he definitely went into that mode during the game.
You know, it's interesting. We haven't talked a lot about the Niners this morning, and it is funny, is that, first of all, that defensive line looks like that one a few years ago that got to a Super Bowl. Like, it is. Bosa is a handful. Listen, they have given McVay fits. And take me behind the scenes a little, because my criticism on Shanahan has been, you know, sometimes he gets a little conservative with Jimmy, but Jimmy makes me, I'm a nervous wreck watching Jimmy play. But I did feel like Shanahan loosened it up a couple times and said, listen, we got to throw the ball down the field. And they threw it right into the teeth of that defense. And I thought Shanahan, quarterbacks know when a coach doesn't trust him. And I thought he put Jimmy in a position that he trusted him.
Let me stand on the Kyle Shanahan bandwagon here for a little bit, or soapbox. You know, he's a legendary aggressive offensive coach. Go back to the Super Bowl in Atlanta where he was almost too aggressive calling the game. I don't know if there's a coach in professional football that's evolved as much as Kyle Shanahan in a good way. You know, McVay takes all the credits and these new young bucks, McDermott, these other coaches are getting a lot of credit. People forget about Kyle. I think he's one of the top five head coaches in the National Football League. And how he's coached this team in particular with the Jimmy G, Trey Lance situation, Jimmy G being banged up, not playing great all the time, a little inconsistent. I think he's evolved as a coach and coached this team. Remember, he's the head coach. He's not just the offensive coordinator. So when he's calling plays as the head coach, he's calling them with all three phases in mind. And I think he's done a great job of calling the games to fit Jimmy, to fit this team, and to win the game, not just to put up big numbers in the stat column. So I think Kyle's done a fantastic job. If this team has anything better than anybody else, it's soul. They just have a soul to them. They have a belief. I think that's why they have ownership on the Rams right now. They just have this deep belief in themselves. It comes from the top down with John Lynch to Kyle Shanahan to every coach to every player on that team. They know who they are. I think Jimmy G deserves a lot of credit for how he's handled this season. You mentioned it earlier in the show. He's become engaging. He's become enduring. I think he's a really good leader in the locker room. So I think this 49ers team isn't really flashy and sizzly like some of these other teams, but they're very dangerous, and they have a soul about them that can take them to the promised land.
Well, I thought that was the most fun weekend I've had.
Oh.
I would be so ill-equipped at 25 to handle this pressure. And I'm watching you deal with these young guys. Our quarterbacks now are not only gifted, they are so capable of handling these moments. I see no meltdowns. I see no meltdowns from any of these kids.
It was my biggest takeaway of the weekend. I like everybody else, that was one of the greatest weekends of football of my lifetime, if not ever. But my big takeaway that I wrote down was no flinch. These quarterbacks, for as talented as they are, these players, for as talented as they are, these coaches, there was no flinch in these winning teams. Regardless of what was going on around them, regardless of circumstance, they were just locked in on doing what they had to do to win the game. Think of Joe Burrow being sacked 9 times and being hit countless other times, yet he never flinched. Like, for most quarterbacks, you get sacked that many times. My wife even said, she goes, I remember those games for you. And you didn't have that type of poise. I'm like, well, no kidding. That's why I'm not a Hall of Famer. Joe Burrow's probably going to be. I mean, he just sat in there as if it never happened. Tom Brady, even though he lost, sat in there as if it never happened with the Von Miller stuff at the end of the game. Matthew Stafford sat in there and just was completely poised despite the craziness that was going on. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, the two of them, it didn't matter what happened. They never flinched. My big takeaway was that we are so lucky as football fans to have these quarterbacks, these coaches, their mindset, their mentality, and their talent.
Trent, he's got a podcast, Beyond the X's and O's with Trent Dilfer. He is at an undisclosed location by a beautiful lake, and I'll leave it at that. Trent, it's good seeing you.
Thanks, brother.
And a state-winning football coach, state champion-winning Lipscomb Academy head coach in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. And here's Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news!
This is the Herdline News.
So he's the same thing. I'm in awe of what I saw. Not just the play, but the maturity of it. The resilience of these quarterbacks is...
There is no way I was completely incapable of doing something like that. It's remarkable. But you know what? They have, I think for, you know, every generation's like, well, not back in my day, blah, all of that nonsense. But I do think that kids now, and I'm 35, so I can call them kids, have a better awareness of the media coverage that they get, They've grown up with social media.
That's right.
They've seen the mistakes that other people have made on
social media. Like dad's made. Like my kids totally get it way more than me.
They understand and are interested in, you know, their finances at a younger age and understanding what they should do with their money. Like, they're just smarter than we were. And no, everybody is not in that class, obviously, but they are just really impressive. So there's been a lot of talk about what the Cowboys will do moving forward following their loss in the wild card round. And the biggest question is obviously Mike McCarthy. And Jerry Jones was non-committal about his coach on Friday, saying, "I've got a lot of things to think about regarding these coaches." He also shared his disappointment with Amari Cooper this season, saying the receiver should have been taking more attention of opposing defenses and making more catches while covered. Wow. The Cooper thing's not terribly surprising.
Well, and I also think he has been a real asset for the organization, but with CeeDee Lamb's emergence, Cedric Wilson, it's going to be interesting because Michael Gallup, they're not bringing back. The tight end's leaving. Zeke's probably gone. So Amari's got real value here. The Cowboys have a roster without a ton of needs. They may need to go after a wide receiver again.
Jerry was also not happy with him, and he missed time for being unvaccinated. That's obviously not an issue at this point of the season anymore.
But it was. It ticked him off.
Yeah. Like, Jerry's been very clear how he stands on all of that. And so that's not really surprising that he's saying that he's unhappy with Amari Cooper. Now, I don't think Amari Cooper was the problem in that game, obviously, and throughout the season.
But they have some offensive – they got some decisions to make, Joy, with this offense.
Jerry's got a lot of decisions to make, but I feel about Jerry and the Cowboys the way that I feel about the Dolphins. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
You guys do the same thing over and over and over and over again. You expect a different result. Jerry Jones and the Cowboys are comfortable with a coach that they can control. They don't want somebody who makes their own decisions. They don't want somebody who's bigger than them. And this is what you get. Like, it's evident if you look at the people that they have hired since Jimmy Johnson, other than Bill Parcells, who has been there? Who is a presence? None. No one. The Bills lost the coin toss to go into overtime against the Chiefs last night and never got another chance to get the ball. Josh Allen watched from the sidelines as Patrick Mahomes threw the game-winning touchdown to Travis Kelce. And a lot of people are very upset and screaming about the overtime rules once again. But he is not blaming the overtime rules for the team's loss.
They made one more play than we did. That's what it came down to, you know, and you know, it obviously hurts. You know, and you don't like feeling like this, especially back-to-back years at the same place.
The rules are what they are, and I can't complain about that because if it was the other way around, we'd be celebrating too. So it is what it is at this point. And we didn't make enough plays in it.
It says a lot about your personality if the first thing you think of when you lose is, we're victims here. Like, folks, you all know the rules. And it's not like Buffalo needed to make 10 stops. One.
Yeah.
Kansas City drove down the field in 13 seconds.
I mean, I see the fans reacting this way. I understand that. Media, it's kind of like, you guys know what the rules are. You got to make a stop. There is a defensive side of the ball. I understand it feels unfair, which I hate using the term fair, but it feels unfair that it comes down to a coin toss. But you have all of regulation, and then you have a defensive side of the ball. Like, get a stop. This is how it goes. If that wasn't the Chiefs, as explosive as they are, you probably would have got the stop, gotten on the opportunity. Also, the defense can score points as well.
And special teams.
It's not like the defense cannot score points. You can get an interception. You can get a stop. You can get a fumble. This is available. So I'm glad that Josh Allen said this, because they would be celebrating too. I like your amendment to the rule, which is that the defense the away team automatically gets the ball. It's a choice of defense or offense in overtime.
If a home team can't seal it up in 13 possessions, you get a here, the other team can't. You just get you make the call in overtime because the entire league and structure of the NFL is parity. That's why the best teams draft last. That's why there are free agent limitations on playoff teams. The league is built, they want everybody to be, this is not college football, mushed together.
Right.
It's the ultimate in-game fair play. If we go to overtime, and there's about 10 overtime games, not even one a week, a year, the road team gets the call. That seems like, and by the way, there's only one Mahomes and one Josh Allen.
Right.
So it's not a guaranteed anything, ever.
Well, yeah, so if you have a not as talented of a quarterback, but a great defense, maybe you want to give the other team's offense the opportunity
right.
to go and score, and you get the stop. Hey, like it's
in the Green
Bay. It should be up to you. They'll make people play more aggressively during regulation.
Yes,
it'll make you make different decisions at the end of the game. Maybe you don't kneel down. Maybe you try and go for it, and you're more aggressive because you know what's coming. And then there's no question of what's fair or not because you already know what it is. It's not a coin toss.
My idea would give us fewer overtimes because teams would be more aggressive at the end of regulation.
But the college overtime rules.
They're hokey. They have no special teams. So special teams are a third of the game. You go to college overtime, they take special teams out.
Yeah, it just wouldn't work. Plus, you can't have guys playing forever and ever and ever. There's a game next week. Like you can't do that. You're going to risk injury. It's going to affect the games at the next level. So the Rams will be hosting the Niners in the NFC Championship on Sunday, and they're doing everything they can to ensure that they have home field advantage. So through Ticketmaster, the Rams announced that the public sales for the game will be restricted to the residents of the greater Los Angeles area. Residency will be based on the credit card billing address at checkout, and sales to other areas will be canceled without notice and refunded. So they are taking control.
Niner fans,
of SoFi,
stay home.
Now, look, there are a lot of Niners fans in LA.
A ton.
I think there will still be heavy Rams, but you're going to see a lot of Niners fans at this game.
I love it.
It's not going to be overwhelmingly Rams fans. Although I do think that the Rams fans have made a really nice environment this year.
Oh, and SoFi is such a – SoFi – Lambeau fits Green Bay, Wisconsin,
yeah.
And SoFi fits L.A.
No,
it is
beautiful.
An unbelievable environment.
So the Rams are favored by 3 against the 49ers, according to Fox Bet.
Don't ask me.
But I said this to Colin in the break. The Rams have lost 6 straight to the Niners.
I know.
Like, we think of the Niners, I think, as this, like, scrappy underdog team that's just climbing his way through the playoffs. And now they meet the Rams, and, like, the Rams can't beat the Niners. This is going to be a great game.
This whole division's quirky. That Arizona can't beat LA, and LA can't beat San Francisco.
McVay has a 3-7 record against Kyle Shanahan. They have lost 6 straight to the Niners
with McVay.
So we feel, I think both of us feel the Niners or the Rams are the better overall team
and
right now.
Also, they've got
but they can't beat the Niners. They're very physical team.
And I like the Rams. I like the Rams. Now, Cincinnati getting 7 is a lot of points. I'd probably take the Bengals and the points there. 7 points is a lot to give that offense.
It's going to be
That's
a great weekend.
A ton.
Though.
By the way, we got to update Honey Badger, too. I thought his loss was huge for Kansas City. Buffalo went right to the middle of the field to attack that Chiefs defense. When Honey Badger is one of the most instinctive players in the league, I thought that was a huge hole. And Kansas City's defense mostly could not overcome it. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Oh, The Herd. Back in a second.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to exactly. guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlansport.com. That's ProPlansport.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Ever wanted to make your home feel safer? No better time than now. SimpliSafe, 20% off. Visit SimpliSafeColin.com. By the way, Aaron Rodgers, Trent Dilfer is much nicer to him than I am. After disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, one quarterback this weekend was not daring. It's Aaron Rodgers at home, wants to be the MVP. And I watched all these young, daring quarterbacks getting sacked, getting hit on the road. All of them played with a spirit, toughness, no victimhood. Even Josh Allen, don't want to complain about overtime. Aaron, I feel I'm being silenced, he said last week. God, just give me a break. Great finishes all weekend. Here are the four final radio calls from the weekend, starting with the Bengals and the Titans.
Clark Harris will snap it back to Kevin Huber for the win. The snap, the put down, the swing of the right leg.
Yeah, baby.
It's on its way.
Yeah, baby.
It is good.
Yeah.
Coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam. That is unbelievable.
We'll try to win it here from 45. Pepper's snap is a little high, pulled down by Wisnowski. Robbie Gould has it away, and it is good! Robbie Gould has kicked the 49ers to victory here in Green Bay.
Matt Gay, with 4 seconds on the clock, will attempt a 30-yard field goal from the left hash. Hits it with the right foot. Kick on its way. It is through. It is good. Matt Gay brings it home. Los Angeles will host the NFC Championship game.
Chiefs first down and goal to go. Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking right side. He wants it. A cutback cut. It is caught by Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce on a push fake comeback. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
Oh, just magnificent.
There's nothing like the local radio call.
You and I, Joy, talked about this a lot during the season. We couldn't understand how the Texans can beat the Chargers and the Jags can beat the Bills. And there were all these upsets. And I stand by what I said earlier. There's no great team in this league.
Right.
Kansas City and Buffalo are very good. There's no great team in this league. We thought Green Bay was. They're not. There are very few awful teams. The Texans showed heart, and the Lions showed heart, and the Jets got better at the end of the year. Giants are awful. Everybody, it depends on your roster, your health, the environment. Like, this league is really tight. This is exactly what the NFL wants on any Sunday. You got a couple of dogs at the bottom, and even those had a puncher's chance, and a couple of really gifted teams at the top. But even Kansas City kind of lost its way for 6 weeks and struggled to beat the Giants, struggled to beat average teams. Wolf and Shepherd, favorite shoe brand, amazingly comfortable shoes. Their catalog is amazing as well. Go to wolfandshepherd.com, wolfandshepherd.com. What a weekend. So much fun. Hour three is around the corner. It doesn't get much better as a sportscaster, as a fan. That last 2 days, that's as good as it gets. It's all downhill from here. You cannot top that. Hour three next.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dakovis store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dakovis.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.